Well, it's a joy to see all of you again this morning, and this morning we want to welcome to you to in our midst a special guest speaker, Chaplain Paul Kim. He's here with his wife, Sarah, and a daughter, Katharina. They're all from California, and they are here actually on posting. Chaplain Kim is now attached to the naval unit here, and he's also... He comes to us with many years of pastoral ministry experience, and he spent many years too in the Middle East and Asia as a missionary. We're so glad that he could come, and he has actually done a tour of Iraq too. So today he has got a lot to share with us, and we are excited. He has founded a mission organization called Mission for All Nations. Right, and I'm sure he will take time to share with us what's God's working in his life all these years. This morning, he's going to bring to us a God's word from John 15, and the topic will be miracles in the desert.
Good morning. All right, I have a naturally loud voice, so please bear with me. God, gift to me with that so that I can, you know, go on mission trips and mission field without, you know, where there's no microphone. So, all right, praise God. Shall we pray? Let's start with a prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this glorious, beautiful, awesome, and wonderful day of resting in your arms, Lord God. And Lord, we are here to be rested in your presence, Lord. In your presence, there is such a joy, such a peace. Especially your voice. We need to hear your voice, Lord God. Give us a heart to hear your voice, ears to hear your voice, and eyes to see your glory, and also heart to obey every single word that you're about to speak to us, Lord God. Because without obedience, Lord, nothing matters. So, Lord, bless every single one of your beautiful sons and daughters in this place, and Pastor John, and this church as well, Lord Father God, so that in this end time, this church will move forward to bring gospel to not only to Singapore, but for all around this region and around the world as well. Thank you, Jesus. Send your Holy Spirit in this place. Let every single one of us be touched and filled by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm gonna be not only a pastoral mode, but also military mode this morning as well. All right. So, I'm going to be asking you to shout, okay? When the church of God shouts, heaven shakes, earth shakes. That's how did the Jericho, the wall, how did it fall down?
Shout.
Amen, right? They shouted. I mean, can you imagine this huge wall? I mean, fortified wall crumbling down just by shouting. It did happen. Amen? That shout came from faith. They went around the Jericho wall for how many days? How many days?
6, 7.
How many days? 7 days. And then throughout that 7 day period, their faith increased and increased and increased, and they obeyed. Even though it sounds ridiculous to people, natural people, what do you mean? Want to go around the wall? Huh? And then shout, and the wall's going to fall down, and we can take the promised land? That easy? I mean, come on. Okay? Who's going to believe that? But Israelites, they didn't depend on their feelings, but depend on what the Lord told them. Be led by Joshua. Amen? And they did exactly what he said, and that's why they become successful in taking over that city and taking the promise of God. Amen? So, shouting, okay? Shouting is very important. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3 says what? Call unto me, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you do not even know. But you know that call in Hebrew means call. Q-U-A-L, fall is a little translation of baby crying.
Have you heard of baby crying? I'm sure you have, right? They don't care where, they don't care when, and when they shout, the whole house, okay? I have my daughter there, Carolina, and when she was a little baby, she just, in our car, she'll just cry. They cry, cry, cry. Why do babies cry? Let us know whether they're hungry or uncomfortable. Something that their way of communication. And they don't stop until they receive what they need. Amen? Amen? So they cry. So that kind of cry. So when the scripture says, call unto me, I'll show you greater my things. The call is a crying out. Okay? Shouting, crying, Lord Jesus, shake, do something, bring revival, the shaking, the fervent and righteous prayer. Fervent prayer, righteous man. Amen? So, I want church to shout. Okay? We need to learn to shout. When we pray, yes, sometimes we need to know how to pray privately, publicly, and also highly and loud voice. This is all scriptural. All biblical. Amen? So we have to do the whole thing, not the partial, you know, part of the things in the scripture, but the whole thing. If it's in the scripture, you better learn it. Better follow it. Amen? Amen? I'm not making this up. It's in the scripture. So either you follow scripture or don't follow scripture. Okay? So it's in the scripture. Okay? It is okay. In fact, Scripture encourages us to cry out to the Lord. Cry out. Okay? Babies don't cry like that. They rah! And then the baby's cry when she cried, we have to even pull over. Little baby made our whole car pull over to the side. Amen? She was on the steering wheel, in fact. So that kind of cry. You have to cry out to the Lord when there's a there's something is just moving in your heart and just and the Holy Spirit is urging you to shout out to me. Okay? And then you shout out to the Lord and things will happen. Okay? And the miracles will happen. The Lord will open the heaven's door. Amen? And when you sing just with such an energy and such an eagerness and passion. That's the word I was looking for. Passion. When you pray unto the Lord with a passion. When you love the Lord, what the scripture says, love your God with all your heart, all your mind, with all your soul, right? That in one word, that means passion. Amen? Love your God with passion. Okay? Don't you want to be loved by your spouses with a passionate love? Or half-hearted love? You choose. I'd rather receive passionate love than half-hearted, haphazardous, just half thing. Okay, I don't want half thing. I want full thing. So I'm gonna move this morning. Okay, I'm gonna just be myself. I'm gonna move in that direction. Okay, it's all scriptural. It's all scriptural. All right. Now, Pastor John, how what time is it? So this. Okay, all right.
I'll give you an hour.
Okay, all right. Well, I brought some videos here this morning, okay? So, let's read the, first of all, scripture verses today. Okay? John chapter 15, verse 5. John chapter 15, verse 5. Starting from the verse 5. Yes, I am the vine. Jesus speaking, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who parts from me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you stay joined to me and my words remain in you, you may ask any request you like, and it will be granted. My true disciples produce much fruit. My true disciples produce much fruit. Okay, we're going to go back to that later. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. You remain in my love. When you obey me, you remain in my love. Just as I obeyed my Father and remain in his love. I have told you this so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. I command you to love each other in the same way that I love you. And here is how to measure it. The greatest love is shown when people lay down their lives for their friends. You are my friends if you obey me. I no longer call you servants because a master doesn't confide in his servants. Now, you are my friends. Since I have told you everything the Father told me, you did not choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. I command you to love each other. Amen.
All right.
Now, I want, before I begin, I want to show you this video. Okay, this video first came out maybe three or four years ago, made by the Harvard Medical Research Team, and this is an animated explanation of what goes on inside a single cell. I don't know whether you have watched this video or not, okay? But you can still find it on YouTube. Okay? It's made by Harvard Medical School. Okay, so. that, and then there's a human-like thing is moving that blue ball. There's this protein moving inside your single cell, one, you know, single cell, okay? Moving into the nucleus of the cell. Doesn't it look like a universe? Okay. This is such an intricate machine. I mean, it's such a complicated, intricate machine, and in a single cell, looks like a universe. Who made this? Who designed this? Amen? We are not here by accident. This cannot be an accident. This whole thing has to move in such a harmony, in like a symphony, so each single cell has to act, I mean, function in such a harmonic way so that your whole body can function. This is not a coincidence. This is not by accident. It's designed by somebody, and that someone is called God. Yahweh. Amen? And think of our God is God of not only universe and cosmos, but our God is God of micro as well, the single cell, an atom, a neutron. He's just amazing. Our God is just huge. There's no word to describe our God. And yet, the scripture says what? He's calling you and me friend. Can you imagine that? He's calling you a friend. Can you imagine a president of, you know, some country, or prime minister of some country calling you a friend? If Steve Jobs is your friend, okay, the president, the CEO of an Apple company passed away, guess what? All the iPad, iPhone you want will be yours. You call Steve and, hey Steve, can I get extra, you know, can I get iPad? He'll say, no problem, right? Because he's your best friend. Amen? And think about that. Your daddy is a creator and designer of the universe. That is a fact. That is a truth. Where is our strength and power comes from? Knowing who he is, and also knowing, therefore, who you are. Your spiritual identity. First, knowing who he is, and that will give you who you are. That's what scripture says, be still and know that I'm your God. Just be still. You don't have to try to control. Don't be a control freak. Don't be a worry freak. Just be still. Sunday is that day to be still. But not only Sunday, every morning, every day should be your time of intimacy with the Lord, be still day. Amen? If you be still, then you can hear the voice of God. You know, the submarines, I'm the Navy, but when somebody tries to detect an enemy sub, they cannot move forward and start, you know, pinging, then they will miss out their targets. They have to sit still and listen. Okay? Just like that, you have to be still and listen in. Okay? What the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. And knowing that way, he will lead you to his presence and know who he is. And then, therefore, you will know who you are. And that's going to give you direction where you're supposed to go. And will give you a power to move forward. Amen? It's not about the knowledge. Okay? It's about experiencing God. It's about knowing. Okay? Not knowing, but knowing. Not eidos, but gnosko. Gnosko in Hebrew and in Greek. Gnosko. Not eidos. Not intellectual knowledge, but gnosko. Gnosko. Experiential knowledge. Okay? So, just think about that. He is the one who designed this, made this complicated machine called single cell, is your daddy. And there's nothing you could, therefore you have nothing to fear, there's nothing to worry about. This is a time when you say, amen. Seriously, and that is the fact. Don't be deceived by the lies of the enemies. Well, you're just this. You did this in the past. You know, you're born in this family. All this garbage, okay? No. You are born into the family of God. You are now sons and daughters of God. You're a new creature, scripture says. Yesterday is gone. Yesterday is gone. There's no yesterday. We are moving forward. Amen? To move forward, you got to know who you are. To know who you are, you got to know who he is. And we know who he is. He is the creator of the universe. He's beyond time and space. He's a self-sufficient, self-existing God. And He is your daddy, and He is your best friend. And He is with you 24/7. And you just have to sit still and let that the grace of God, that grace of God, and He has chosen you, that grace of God just infiltrate into you, and just you need to get just soaked and marinated and pickled in the presence of God every single day. That is the best way, the only way to move forward is that is like an engine. Okay? And you could be bold in front of people, in front of situation, okay? Regardless of external circumstances around you. Amen? we are called to be invincible. If we live, we live. If we die, we live. Is that true? Amen? If we live, we live. We die, we live. Our name is written in the book of life. He's our supernatural provider, Jehovah Jireh. So we have nothing to worry about. Okay? But that truth has to be reminded, has to be soaked into our being every single day. Every day is a new day. Okay? If we forsake that, that's when we allow the enemies to lie to us, and that's when we start accepting those lies. Okay? You are this. You are this. You can only this. You can only that. Those kind of lies will start coming in, and then you start accepting them. You didn't give yourself a time to be at the feet of cross, and just like Mary, okay, at the feet of Jesus. And that's why we lose our identity in Christ. Who we are in Christ. Okay? You are sons and daughters of Almighty God who designed the cosmos and neutron. That is a true fact. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? This is the fact that you could be just jumping up and down. That's how people will recognize you, that you are different from the world. Why are you so joyful today when you have $0 in your bank? Because my daddy is rich. I'm already rich. Amen? When your mom and dad is passed away, why are you so sad? Because my dad is the God of life and resurrection. My mom and dad is in heaven with the Lord. So you will receive the supernatural joy, supernatural peace, supernatural love. When you know who He is and when you know who you are, and that's how people will see, wow, you have an anointing of God. You have a presence of God in you. And then you will become truly the light and the salt of the earth. Salt of the earth and light of the world. And that's why we're called to this world. That's why we're born. That's why we're saved. Amen? Amen? Our life is short. We're here to make impact. Okay? We're going to talk about that a little bit later. We're here with a purpose. What is that purpose? First, let me introduce myself a little bit. Okay? Pastor John just introduced me. My name is Paul Kim. I was born as a Paul Kim. I was born as a Kim Tae-jin, which is a Korean name. I was born in Korea. I was a Buddhist. I was very strong. I was born in a Buddhist family, and we have Buddhist temple right there in the church. But either that, you know, and then I hated Christians, and you know, I didn't like, you know, I even persecuted my friends who were Christians. My whole family was Buddhist, and then my great grandmother was the only Christian, and she would just constantly invited me to church, and I said, no, I don't need Jesus, I'm a good person, I give good things to, you know, people, and so why do I need Jesus? You know, don't bother me, great, you know, grandma. And but then she would continue to pray and intercede for me, and one day when I was passing by a church, I heard the voice of God. I didn't know back then it was the voice of God, and the Lord spoke to me and said, look up. So I looked up, and what's on the top of the church? Cross. When I saw the cross, Lord spoke to me a second time, and He said, why don't you talk to me? So I said, I didn't know what to say. I said, thank you for the day. And I remember Christians saying amen at the end of the prayer, so I said amen, like that. So, but every time I passed by the church, Holy Spirit would inspire me, would stir my heart to, you know, talk to him for 10 seconds. Okay? So every day I spoke to him for 10 seconds, but it accumulated. My great-grandmother was such an intercessor. She would just pray and pray and pray. But not only that, she will also invite me to church, even though I would reject her. True intercessor. Okay? Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, intercessory prayer is such a powerful, powerful thing. Lord loves for you to do something for other people. It's our God, the God of others. He thinks about others. Okay? Unselfishness. It's self-sacrificing. That is the name, that is the banner of, that's the content of the heaven. It's self-sacrificing, giving, forgiving, okay? Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? That is the embodiment of the cross. So intercessory prayers, that's why it's so important, so powerful. You can pray for other people, even though you may not know that person, but you're praying, knowing that Lord is hearing your voice, hearing your prayer. Lord will answer that prayer. So that's why I heard the voice of God. Because of my great-grandmother's prayer, I heard the voice of God, and then I started hearing the voice of God. Second thing, great intercessors don't stay in the prayer closet. They come out and they speak of what God wants to do. Why? Because when you really truly pray, Holy Spirit will lead you into the presence of God. In the presence of God, you hear the voice of God, and you feel what, you see what God sees, you feel what God feels. So, what makes God's heart beat even today? Why did Jesus Christ come down to this earth? Amen. Not to give us not to make us a nice people, okay? To live a comfortable life, okay? Which is great too. But the main reason is to save the lost. Amen? Amen? Amen. So, even right now, that's what making God's heart beat. Paul says in 2 Timothy, he desires all men to be saved. Lord desires, okay? Not wishes. Lord desires with such a fire for all men to be saved. That's what is moving our God right now. That's what's moving the history, human history even. Okay? So if you're a true intercessor, okay, the Holy Spirit move you into that inner sanctum of God, okay, inner bedroom, the bedroom of God, and you'll start seeing what God sees and feel what God feels, and then start hearing that heartbeat of God. The heartbeat of God is, how can I save one more person? One more. So my great-grandmother heard that and felt that, and when she came out of the prayer closet, she continued to witness to the people, especially even to our family and to me, although I was rejecting her. Amen? So, because of that, okay, in true love, there is no pity. The only reason that you and I are here is because God didn't put on us. Scripture says today clearly, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Okay? Don't be mistaken that you chose to receive Christ. No, you didn't choose. He chose us. Can I hear amen? Amen. Okay? He chose us. Hallelujah. We are selected. Okay? We are specially selected by the Lord. There's such a privilege, a mystery. Why me, Lord? Why us? And because of that unconditional love, because there's no quitting in God's dictionary of love, that's why we are here, and that's why my great-grandmother continued to invite me to church. She did not quit. She did not quit. When you love somebody, you don't quit on that person. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay? That is the truth. When you love somebody, if you love God, you don't quit on God. If you love somebody, you don't quit on that person. Okay? That's the God kind of love. That's why my great-grandmother started to invite me to church. And by that time, because of all those prayers by my great grandmother and also by my, you know, short prayers, you know, communication with God, my heart was, became very soft. So my great grandmother invited me to church. I said, well, why not? I'll try. So I went to church and then pastor preached the sermon. And I couldn't understand what he was saying because I had no prior biblical knowledge at all. But at the end of the sermon, I was bawling and crying. I was crying so hard. And I was thinking, why am I crying so hard? What happened was, our God is spirit, amen? And we are spiritual beings, right? So, there was a spirit-to-spirit contact. Okay? My brain did not compute. My flesh did not compute what was going on. But my brain, my spirit was making an encounter with God. My spirit was receiving, experiencing spiritually the infinite, never-changing love of God and forgiveness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, all that was coming unto me like a wave. Okay? And so I was just bombarded by that and could not contain that joy, and that's why the tears were coming out, okay? As a way of expressing that joy, as expressing that gratitude. And then, by then, I knew Jesus was not just a moral, religious leader who lived 2,000 years ago. At that time, my spirit was experiencing, Jesus, you are the Son of God. Hallelujah. You are the living God. Amen? And that's when I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord. The amazing thing is this. Not only myself, but in the same week, my mom, my dad, my two sisters all received Christ in 1 week. It's like a package deal. It's a wholesale. Why? The scripture says, you and your household shall be saved. You believe that? Better believe it. Our God is the God of family. God created Adam and Eve. Better family. Our God is the God of team. There shouldn't be any spiritual lone ranger. We have to work together. That's what we call body of Christ. Some are fingers, some are heads, some are feet, and some are legs, and some Jesus is there. We are body of Christ. God is God of team. Amen? So if you have a brother, sisters, mom and dad, and uncles and nephews who do not know Jesus Christ, guess what? The best way to pray. Pray back the word of God. Okay? Pray back. Okay? Pray the word of God back to the Lord. What I mean is this. Lord, you said you and your household shall be saved. Why not my family? Why not my family? I didn't write this down, Lord. You said you and your household shall be saved. Okay? That's why we need to read, study, meditate and obey the word of God. And you use the word of God, okay, when you really pray. Lord, this is not what I said, this is what you said. So Lord, save my mom, save my dad, save my brother, save my sisters, save my uncle, save my nephews. Okay. Lord, you gave those gifts to Apostle Paul. You gave those gifts to Peter and all the disciples. Why not me? Scripture says what? James chapter 5, scripture says, Elijah was man just like you and me. Right? When he prayed, it didn't rain for 3 years. When he prayed again, it rained again. Even the scripture says this, you are no different from people in the Bible. They're all the people. And God poured out those gifts to those people. Why not you? Jesus says, why we don't have? Because we don't ask. Jesus says clearly, simply, you don't have because you don't ask. It's in the scripture, brothers and sisters. Amen? Amen? The scripture says, you and your household shall be saved. You know, I gave this testimony and did this, you know, this encouragement when I preached to other churches. And, you know, many times I was invited by the churches in Korea and other countries as well. When I went to a church in Korea and then in all the churches too, same thing happened. I gave the sermon, and I return back to the same church 6 months later or a year later, these young people just run up to me and say, Pastor Paul, guess what? What? You know, you gave us the message, I prayed exactly what you said, and now my mom is Jesus Christ. And even I will shout. I mean, that fast, 6 months later, yes, my mother came to Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word of God, scripture says what? Will never return void and empty. That is the truth. And you use the word of God, okay, when you pray, Lord, it's in the scripture here. And I believe what you said. I don't believe what I feel, I believe what you said. I don't believe what people say, I believe what you say. Amen? Simple as that. It's very simple. Okay? Even though your brain cannot understand, even though naturally it doesn't seem logical, most of the times, probably all the time, but what Jesus teaches us is not logical in terms of, you know, from the worldly perspective. Love your enemy? Are you kidding me? Serve other people? Are you kidding me? Okay? It's a backward. Kingdom of God is a backward. Okay? So don't try to rationalize it or compute with your brain. In the scripture, they say, Lord, regardless of what I feel, regardless of my current situation, regardless of what people say, because all those things are fluid, it's changeable. Your word is not changeable. It's unchanging. It's beyond space and time. So I put my trust in what you say. Hallelujah. And the Lord's going to say, that's my boy. That's my boy. Angels, go and serve them. He's going to say angels. Hallelujah. Okay? So, I received Christ, and my whole family received Christ. Now, let me tell you, my mom, my family, all my family are, you know, believers. And we moved to America, and then I went, you know, because I love airplane, I studied aerospace engineering, and I graduated from college. And as I was studying the scripture and doing the Bible study, Lord spoke to me second major time, and he said, Paul, yes sir, why do you eat? Huh? Why do you breathe? Why do you live? And I said, Lord, I'm a good Christian now. I go to church on Wednesday, you know, Korean churches are they'll just train you, okay? I go to church on Wednesday night, I go to Wednesday night service, I go to Friday night service, I go to Sunday service, and I give a tithing and I give offering, okay? And I'm a Sunday school teacher. Why are you asking me that question? I'm a good Christian. And the Lord says, No. I said, Lord, you're making me very uncomfortable. And the Lord says, No, I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable. Yes, he was. And I'm not asking you what you do at church and how much money you give to church. I'm asking you if you know why you're alive today. Do you know? Can you speak to me? Can you tell me the purpose of your life? And I was like, oh. I just basically follow the crowd. Okay, well, the Sundays or Sunday things or Sunday thing. Friday, Friday, where everybody's giving offering. Well, serving is good, so I serve as a Sunday school. I know. You know, I couldn't personalize, okay, adequately speak forth, you know, that my purpose on this earth. And the Lord says this, there are only three things the last one in this world. Everything else will burn away. Everything else just is meaningless. And Solomon said in the first year says, nothing is new under the sun. First thing, the last forever. Last one. And ever. Yahweh God. Amen? He is Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. He is beyond space and time. Hallelujah. And he's self-sufficient. He doesn't need us to be glorified. He doesn't need us to go out and save people. Okay? Don't you think that you are doing something for God. We are not doing something for God. We're just participating in what the Holy Spirit is doing. Okay, we're just jumping into the river of God that is flowing, and He's inviting us to just jump in. I want you to experience that. Okay, I want you to share my glory. I want to share my glory with you. When I was in Kuwait about 5 years ago, 2009, 4 years ago. Okay, 4 years ago. You know, in downtown Kuwait, there's a church. Okay, which has about 5,000 people in downtown Kuwait, in the middle of the Middle East. 5,000 member, very vibrant, fired up church. And in that church, I witnessed 12 ladies secretly being baptized. They received Christ. You know how they received Christ? Jesus appeared to them, one by one. Not in a vision, not in a dream, actually in person. Just like he appeared to Apostle Paul when he was Saul on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians. Same thing is happening right now in Europe. And that's how they receive Christ. I have many missionary partners in the Middle East. I hear that report all the time. So he doesn't even need us. So That's why his name is Yahweh, self-sufficient God. So that's why your salvation, my salvation, our salvation is very much more precious. Because why? Even though he doesn't need us, and yet he died on the cross for us, but we are yet sinners. He didn't have to do any of them. Zero. And yet he went through all that trouble. Okay? Combining himself into time and space. Okay, from out of time and space and into time and space, into this fleshly being broken and all, you know, not so good body, okay? And he went through all the trouble. Trouble. Why? Because he just wanted to be with you forever. That's, I guess, one part of the definition of the love of God. So our God lasts forever in this way. Second thing that exists forever is what? The Word of God. Amen. The Word of God. Grass withers and flower falls, and the Word of God lasts forever. And God says, what's your name?
RJ,
I love you, man. Okay? Now when God says, I love you, RJ, tomorrow, he's not going to say, RJ, well, yesterday you did this, so I'm going to kick you out. No. Our God's love is like a, you know, I'll use a military term, okay? Like a missile with a homing device on. So he will follow you, okay? He will explode you with his love. Hear them, okay? Because he said, I love you. Now, the Word of God lasts forever. Hallelujah. Isn't that great comfort? When people change their words, I didn't say that. No, God will never say, I didn't say that. He said, yes, I did say that. And he'll spit with them. He will keep his promise. Okay? Third thing that lasts forever is what? Amen. That's right.
Can you say about people?
That's right. Human soul, human spirit. We people. In the streets, in the MRTs, in the taxi stands, and in the fair price, and you know, the shopping malls, and you know, here in Singapore, Thailand, Indonesia, Africa, you name it. People, doesn't matter, white, yellow, brown, purple, okay? Doesn't matter, rich, poor, or does not matter. When a baby is conceived in the mother's womb, okay, you cannot delete, you cannot cancel, you cannot ask for refund. That human soul, human being, exists forever. And the kicker is this, either in hell or in heaven. Depending on that person, the personal relationship with Jesus Christ or not. There's a huge, huge difference. He exists forever. Can you imagine? In hell. People shouldn't go there. That is not made for people. But rather in heaven. In the presence of God. Forever and ever and ever and ever. When I heard that, the Lord spoke to me again. He said, okay, Paul, how will you invest your time on this earth? How will you, he said this, clearly. How will you invest your time on this earth? Why time? Time is the most expensive commodity that you have. You cannot earn time. You cannot save time. You cannot ask time to slow down. It's already middle of July, brothers and sisters. In about 3-4 months, you'll be preparing for Christmas. I feel like we just started 2013. 2014 is about to begin. Okay? Time flies so fast. If you're 30 years old, 30 kilometers per hour. If you're 50 years old, 50 kilometers per hour. If you're 70 years old, 70. You ask. Okay? When I was a little boy, you know, playing with my friends out of the field, I mean, whole day felt like a whole year. I mean, I played all day. I was out in the field playing baseball and, you know, soccer and football. You come home and it's still daytime. It's like, hey, I have more time to play. Like, right? Remember that? Now, it's like 1 month is like 1 week or even 1 day. Okay, 6 months is like one week. So fast. And you just ask all the people how they feel about time. It's like 1 year is like a day. It goes so fast. And that is the truth. Okay? So, Lord said this, that how will you invest? Why invest? You may not see the result now, okay? But if you sow on the spiritual things now, you will reap, okay, the result in heaven. I guarantee you that. Okay? The Lord says, Jesus says, I'm coming back with the reward. Okay? I'm coming back with the reward. So, is it investing? So Lord told me, Paul, how then, now you see the three things that last forever. Everything else will burn away. Okay? House, cars, and money, and you know, career, everything will just burn away. Only three things will last forever, exist forever. Now you see three things that exist forever. How then will you invest your time on this earth? Will you invest your time for something that will perish away or something that lasts forever? And I said, Lord, now I see. First, I see what is eternal and what is temporal. Second, my eyes are open, Lord, that my life is short, very short. Third, now I see that I got only one life. One life. Not two lives, not three lives, one life. Our life on this earth, Scripture says, is like a vapor. It's like vapor. Okay? Let me give you this. Okay, I was a physics major as well. Okay? Aerospace engineering major, physics major. I'm gonna give you a little mathematical question. Could you divide, okay? Let's say you can live 1 million years, okay? I'll give you that, okay? Let's say you can live 1 million years on this earth. Divide 1 million by infinity, mathematically. Can you divide 1 million by infinity? Yes, you can. What's the answer? Zero. Okay. Zero. Even if we live on this earth for 1 million years, okay, our life is like nothing, okay, mathematically, in time span. Okay? But we live, the scripture says, only 70 to 80 years. That's so true, isn't it? Most of people live up to 70 to 80 years. You divide it by infinity. We're like a vapor. Okay? We're not even a speck on this. In that short time, Lord says, I'm going to give you opportunity to share my glory forever. Okay? Now, what are you going to do with your time? How are you going to use your time? You know what the purpose of your life. That is the most serious question, brothers and sisters. If somebody asks you that question, you should be able to answer. Yes, this is the purpose of my life. This is what I'm driving. This is my passion. This is my vision. This is my passion. Okay? You should be able to speak out loud and explain that eloquently. Okay? So I said, Lord, now I see what is eternal, what is temporal. So I will give my and my life is short, and I got only one life to live. So I will give my time, my talents, my gifts, my all my resources, my finance, all that, zoom into those things that are most important, those things that last forever. Amen? So I that's when I went to the seminary, and I became a pastor and a missionary. The Lord took me to Africa, Russia, Central Asia, China, all over the world for the past 20 years. Okay? I cannot tell you all wonderful things, maybe next time, okay, that happened in those mission fields and my pastoral experiences. Okay? But let me just give you what happened starting eight years ago. About 9 years ago, the Lord spoke to me. Hey, Paul. I said, yes, sir. Military is also mission field as well. Mission field too. Wow, that's right. This U.S. young U.S. Marines, they're going to war in Iraq. And if they die at the battlefield without knowing Jesus Christ, that's a big problem. Yeah, being an evangelist, an apostolic evangelist, you know, I couldn't bear the thought of them, you know, going down the hell without knowing Christ. Okay? So I resigned from my pastor position, and I went to a chaplain, a Navy, and I became a military pastor, chaplain, military pastor. And when I joined the Navy, okay, I thought my first assignment would be on a very, very nice, comfortable, big, huge aircraft carrier. Okay? But then Lord said, Lord loved me so much that He sent me to the Marines. You know the Marines? They're the first one who go to the battlefield. They're the one who stay in the front line, okay? Receiving the first, you know, the bullets in the body. And Lord said, nope, you go to the Marines. And then He loved me even more. He sent me to Iraq. I said, Lord, there is a very, very nice, comfortable base in Marine Corps base in Hawaii. Can I go to Hawaii and just I can still preach the gospel to the Marines there or the military people there too. So no, you go to Iraq. And He loved me even more and more and more. He sent me to Fallujah and Ramadi in the beginning of the war. Have you heard of that? Those two cities. That's where those two cities are where the furious battle was happening. So many people died. You know, when I went there, okay, I mean, you go to sleep in a tent, okay? You never know whether you wake up alive. Because mortars and rockets will just fall on the ground without any warning. So I was in that kind of situation. But you know what? Let me tell you, brothers and sisters. Even though situation may become darker and darker, and conditions may become harder and harder, our God is not a God of down. Our God is not up. He is always wants to increase you in larger territory. He's committed to that. You believe that? Amen? Probably he couldn't even sleep last night because he was thinking about RJ. RJ. How can I bless RJ even more? How can I increase his territory even more? How can I elevate him even more? Amen? Our God is never God of downgrading. He's always upgrading, increasing, expanding. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you believe that? He's never stagnant. He never stays in one place. He's very, 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 very dynamic. He's moving. He's doing something. He's achieving. Okay? He's breaking down walls. He's doing something. Okay? So, even in that dark and hard time, okay, hard times, Lord put me in a situation so that I could find treasure, and I did. Okay? I found a diamond in that very, very difficult time. Let me just give you a little time, maybe one or two miracles, okay, which is 0.00001 of what happened during my deployment in Iraq. Okay? But I'll just give you one or two. Okay? What happened? One day I was driving the car in the base, and I heard the voice of God. Hey, Paul. I said, yes, sir. make a U-turn. I was driving. Made a U-turn. Okay. I didn't know where I was going. I have a meeting that was scheduled, but because the Lord said so, I obey. Scripture says obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. If you can read the Bible front backward, okay? But if you don't read, if you don't obey the word of God, there's no fruit. Scripture says what? Jesus talked about the fruit many times in Scripture. Tree shall be known by its fruit. And I also today's Scripture says what? I punish the goat and bear fruit. Fruit. He's looking for fruit. If you can have a, we're not here to make a tree. We're not trees with a beautiful leaves. Leaves don't mean nothing. We are trees. We're supposed to bear fruits. Amen? And fruits are not for yourself. Have you seen trees eating fruits like this? That's so good. Have you seen trees eating? No. Fruits are for other people. And also inside the fruit, what do you find inside the fruit?
Seeds.
Fruits are to germinate, okay? It's to propagate. Okay? So Lord Paul, he says, I'm gonna see you. Okay, don't tell me what you do and what you did and you know, in the church, or you know how much money you give to church, or you know how nice you are. I want to see you. If you're apple, I want to see some apple fruits in your life. It's simple, very simple, simple as that. And if you say you have a fruit, then I want to see some seeds falling down on the ground and dying, sacrificing and bearing more. I want to see those fruits, that kind of fruits. Amen. When you bear the fruits, let me tell you, your joy just multiplies. The Holy Spirit, you will feel the joy of the Lord in your heart. Wow, He's really pleased with me. Because He sees the fruits, and He's enjoying the fruits. Okay? And I see these fruits multiplying by the seeds germinating on the ground. Amen? So, the obedience is better than sacrifice. Without obedience, there was no fruit whatsoever. I don't care whether you went to 1,000 seminaries, I don't care whether you have PhDs, does not matter. Fruit, brothers and sisters. Okay? So, I was driving and I knew God was up to something. And my heart, instead of worrying about missing the meetings, I said, Lord, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do? I was so excited. And then, one of the Navy corpsmen, you know what corpsmen is? It's like a Navy doctors and nurses. Okay? One of the U.S. Navy nurse saw my car and then stopped my car and said, "Hey, Chaplain Kim, you know, we are in an emergency situation." So what, and I said, what's going on? 15 Marines were hit by a rocket and mortars, and one of them is dying. Please come to the surgical tent and pray with us. So I rushed into the surgical tent. The floor was just filled with blood, a puddle of blood everywhere. It was so hot, it was like, you know, 40 degree heat, and with a Kevlar jacket and everything, and rushed in, and the doctors and nurses were trying to save this young Marine, whose skull was open, and just blood everywhere. But about 10, 15 minutes later, he passed away. They couldn't save him. So everybody was crying, frustrated. And they asked me to come and pray for the doctors and nurses surrounding the body. So as I was approaching this table where the body was lying down, they found out from his dog tag. You know what dog tag is? The ID, okay? That he was a Catholic. So they called in a Catholic chaplain. So I stepped back. The Catholic chaplain came in, and he started giving a last rite. Lord, please receive His Spirit to paradise. And then Lord spoke to me at that time. Hey, Paul.
Yes, sir. Pray for resurrection.
And so while this priest was praying, okay, Lord, receive His Spirit to paradise and spirit to sacrifice. In the background, I was saying out loud, Lord, go receive spirit to paradise. And he turned around. What? Receive the spirit to paradise with the sound of the Lord. And then I said in the background, go receive spirit to paradise. I said, huh? Receive. He said, don't receive. Receive. Don't receive. That was a spiritual tug of war going on. And about 10 minutes later, his heart was beating. Hallelujah. A dead person in that. You know what? You know when that happened? Our God is God of bonus. If you pray for one, He never gives you one. He always gives you ten. Have you experienced that? He even knows what you don't even know. What you, He knows the need that you don't even know that you need. You need that. You know when that happened? That happened on a Good Friday, 2 days before Easter Sunday. Okay. So. And because of that, okay, when people came to me, I can't believe Jesus can be resurrected from the dead. I said, well, look at that guy. Came back to life. So it was he gave us a live illustration of resurrection. So, because of that, okay, our God has got a bonus. Over 100 Marines. On top of that, again, God has got a bonus. Even Muslim Iraqi soldiers received Christ. Hallelujah. Scripture says in Mark chapter 16, when you preach the gospel, you preach the gospel with the signs and wonders. If you believe, the signs and wonders will follow after you. There will be signs, there will be wonders, there's a signs and there's a wonder. Okay? Wow! What happened? God did it. Signs and wonders. Amen? So, because of that signs and wonder, over 100 Marines came to Christ, including Iraqi soldiers. I brought that, okay, the video. You will watch the video in a few minutes. And I said, Lord, this is amazing, this is awesome. Let me baptize all of them. There's no baptismal tub in the desert, so what do? You make one, right? So I was like, overnight, Saturday night, you know, night before Easter Sunday, drilling. You know, I was just, you know, making a hole, and then I put the plastic liner, and then I poured about 3,400 liters of water, 800 gallons of water, and I put the cover on top. And Easter sunrise, we had an Easter sunrise service. Not that only a few people will show up. These Marines with the M16s and M4s and M49 and M240s, and you know, they were just running, okay? Running and, you know, running like 5 kilometers, and they came to our, you know, the location where we had a beautiful location, you know, with a lake in the background, the lake in the Iraq, in the desert, actually, okay? It was beautiful. And then we erected a 3-cross, and then we had a sunrise service, and the Holy Spirit hit us so hard. We had the worship service for 6 hours. 6 hours. When I was a missionary in Kenya, I once did a 12-hour worship service. Okay? I mean, we started at 6 p.m., we ended at 6 a.m. Okay? I mean, they go on and on and on. Hallelujah. Okay? Boom, boom, and then they just, you know, continue to sing, and one will come and preach, one will come and testify, and then they will continue, boom, and then pray. I mean, the 12 hours of a marathon, just, you know, Holy Spirit fire. Okay? But I never knew I'll be doing that with Rambo, you know, this Marines, okay, with the machine guns on. And they were so happy, right, because the Holy Spirit hit on them. They were like, praise the Lord! They weren't doing that. They almost did that. Okay, they almost like, Oh no, okay. But they were just, can you imagine these Marines, look, you know, dancing up and down, you know, just humming and, you know, singing, okay? So free. I never expected that. That's what happens when you're in the Holy Spirit zone. You will dance like David. You wouldn't even know whether your pants are falling off, because you don't care. You are in. You become God's baby. Okay? You just be God's son, and you just dance before the Lord. That's why angels are dancing in the joy. And I said, Marines, there's a time for you to get baptized. You guys have to, you know, pull out of the base and, you know, continue on with your mission. So I brought them to where the you know, this baptismal tub is, right? And I opened up the cover, okay? And I almost passed out. Why? Because all the water was gone. Say, Lord, what happened? There was a hole in the plastic liner. Overnight, all the 3,400 gallons of water, I slept only 1 hour, okay? To pour water into that. All the water drained out. And I said, Lord, why didn't you stop? You are a big God. That means you have a big finger. You could have just plugged it in and stopped it. Why didn't you do that? And the Lord says, Paul, you complain too much. Just pray. So I said, okay, Marines, what can we do? Just pray. Let's pray. So we held our hands together. We started crying out, Jesus, do something. And we were praying so hard. And 30 seconds after we prayed, guess what happened? Huh? That's what everybody says. Most of the people say. Some churches say, well, water came out of the ground. Water did not come out of the ground. Okay? I mean, God could have sent rain. God could have pulled the water out of the ground. But our God is a creator. He can do whatever, whenever, wherever, however, through whomever. Amen? He's God. Most of the times we miss out on His miracles. Why? Because we put God in our little logical box of logic. And we say, Lord, if you don't do this way or that way or here or there, then I'm not going to believe it. So even though He answers your prayers or then moves in your direction, you miss out because we just put God in that small little box of our logic. Okay? Or our condition. He is G-O-D, man. He's God. He's big. He's creator. He can do it. He can do whatever he wants to. And most of the time he does it that way, out of our expectation, to humble us. Okay? To tell us that you are not God, I am God. Don't play God. Okay? Amen? So he could have sent rain. He could have put water out of the ground. He didn't do any of that. We're praying so hard, crying out, Jesus! I mean, these Marines, big, Jesus! The Capitol was like, you know, big roar, okay? Roar! They're crying so hard, okay? Like, hoorah, Jesus! Okay? And 30 seconds after, out of nowhere, in a combat zone, where there's no road, where there is a desert, this huge water truck showed up. Just water truck showed up out of nowhere. And then we said, hey, you guys, stop. Come this way. The water truck came to us. And this water truck had a powerful water pump. So less than a minute, all 3,400 liters of water all filled up. And everybody just closed eyes with this. And tears coming down. There's no dry eye in that audience. Everybody was. And when the time for baptism, from private to colonel, they were taking off their jacket, or blouse, and they were not going down water nicely like this. I'm being bad. No, you've seen the video. This must be holy water. I'm going to touch it first. They were like fighting. Okay? They're jumping in. Hallelujah. Amen. Our God is a God of provision. Jehovah. Amen. He knows, okay, all things, okay, even before we know or even before we understand. So, I'm going to end it right here. Okay? Actually, I have a few more, okay? But I'll come, if you invite me, then I'll share the rest two of them, okay? I mean, just there's too many of them, okay? I mean, we have 1,500 Marines under my care. None of them got killed. They all came back alive. And the bomb for falling right next to us, didn't explode. and got shot at. Nobody got hurt. We got missiles were flying at us, like guided missiles, went over us. Like, just incredible things that you cannot explain. Okay? 1,500 hardcore fighting Marines all came home alive. Our God is a God of protection. Amen? Why did all this happen? Because of obedience, brothers. Okay? Obedience. Why did we obey? When we go on a mission trip, When we go on a mission, okay, everybody carry Bibles. We always pray before we went out of the base. Always pray that we can turn back and thank God. We obey. What do we obey? Voice of God. How do we hear the voice of God? In the presence of God. How do we enter into the presence of God? P-R-A-Y-E-R. Prayer. Amen? This Bible is bathed in prayer. Bathed in prayer. One activity that Jesus is still doing, according to Scripture, is what? Prayer. Intercession. Romans chapter. He's still interceding. That's how important. One thing, okay, let me tell you this again. Okay? When Jesus was on the earth, one thing that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them was not how to be a better preacher, not how to become a better healer, but what? Teach us for how to pray. Isn't that amazing? Because Jesus, the disciples saw the power that Jesus was manifesting came from, the secret of his ministry was in prayer. He went out on the early morning, prayed. He went overnight, he did overnight prayer. He did fasting prayer. I mean, you name it. His whole ministry, bathing in prayer. He started his ministry when he was age 30, right? He did ministry for only 3 years and turned the world upside down. For 30 years, I bet, okay, he was praying in the city, preparing. Okay? So, that, and then the scripture says, my house shall be called house of prayer for all nations. Hallelujah. Okay? Call unto me, I will show you greater my things that you do not even know. I will share the mysteries of my heart to you. And you pray. Pray. Don't think I know how to pray. No, we don't know how to pray. You have to ask, okay? One thing that I challenge you is make this your prayer this year or the next year even. Lord, teach me how to pray. I want to pray just like you pray. So that I may hear your voice more accurately, more frequently, and more deeply. Amen? If you hear God's voice, guess what? Then you will want to obey. Not you have to obey, you want to obey. When you obey, things happen. Breakthroughs, miracles, changes, revivals. Is that what you want? You want to be just like, oh, okay? Okay, another day. Okay, well, I'm just going to be a nice Christian. Is that what you want? Is that why you're here? No. It's not about how long you live, brother and sister. It's about how you live. It doesn't matter whether you live a million years. Okay? If you're not bearing the fruit, if you don't know the purpose of your life, let me tell you how he is displeased, okay? Jesus gave us a teaching, okay? Clearly on that. How much more is this peace with not bearing the fruit? He gave us, used a parable. Remember? He gave one servant 10 talents, one servant 5 talents, one. But 10 increased to 20, 5 increased to 10, 1 increased to. And he said, I don't know. We think it's just, well, I'm just going to be a nice, Christian. And then, no. Think about it. If we are in an intimate fellowship with the Lord, how can we not bear the fruit? It's as simple as that. Very, very simple. Why not? Because along the way, maybe, probably we're not obeying. Okay? So not bearing the fruit is a result of disobedience. Amen? I mean, just like, okay? not bearing the fruit is a result of disobedience. Disobedience may come from unwillingness to obey what you heard, or not hearing at all. Yeah, either one. So which one is it? I want to encourage you, brother. Our God is not deaf, mute, or blind. He hears, sees, and speaks. Don't you think He's not speaking to you? He wants to speak. He wants you to hear what's going on in His heart. He wants to help you to obey so you can share the glory forever and ever and ever with you. Amen? It's that simple. Very, very simple. If God could use a person like me, you guys are even more amazing. You can hear God's voice. And you will want to obey. You obey His command. Amen?
Now let's see the video.
I'll explain to you little by little as you watch the video. This huge sandstorm. The Lord gave us a halo as a sign. When the bomb exploded, there was a halo. There was a sign from God. All these Iraqi soldiers are the ones that I had a Bible study with. One Marine was killed. He wasn't our unit, but Lord gave me an opportunity to preach the gospel for thousands of Marines. And the senior chaplain came to me and said, "Paul, you better be careful. You're too evangelical." I mean, I got attacked by Christian chaplains. Okay. They knock on the door. I said, you're going to get fired. I said, fire me if you want to. I don't serve you. I serve God. He's my boss. And the Lord protected me. And that's our chapel service. We had 5 Bible studies a week. Our chapel was packed every single time. We also ministered to workers from India and also from Uganda. Sunrise service in the Easter Sunday morning. After the miracle, all these Marines showed up for sunrise service. And I opened up the cover. Voila! Praise the Lord. And you can see the water is kind of receding because there's a hole somewhere. Catholic, but yet he started coming to my service. And I said, "Sir, go to Mass." He said, "No, I don't learn anything there." And he started coming to my service and he ordered Bible and he started reading the Bible. You see that? He still does that. Can you imagine? I mean, just like amazing. Unthinkable. It's the first time ever in U.S. military history. A commanding officer baptizing a former enemy in Jesus' name. Every dream that reaches out, it reaches out to find where love began. And also provided worship services to forward operating bases. Even though there was a machine gun fires and bombs falling all around us, we didn't move, we just continued worshiping the Lord.
and I crossed the Euphrates River. My weapon was the guitar. And this is a Iraqi soldier who received Christ. We're giving him the Bible, Arabic Bible there. And giving him a hug and a baptism. Their arms are so big. And we are prayer warriors. I mean, we pray like crazy. We did fasting prayers, I mean, you name it. The Marines will come to me and said, Chaplain Kim, we feel like we are not in the war deployment. We feel like we're in a Christian retreat for 6 months in Iraq. I said, that's right, we're having a Christian retreat. This is not where we're not going to to kill insurgents. We're actually going on a mission trip. U.S. There's a Navy SEAL. U.S. Navy SEAL and us, once a month, we did a mission trip to Iraqi villages. Even while we're in the battlefield, we did mission trips. Risking our lives, actually. And whenever we go out there, there was sniper fires and rocket attacks. We can get killed while doing mission trips, mission ministries. Yet, we went out. It's amazing the U.S. government allows to do things like that. It's a great way of using tax dollars money. Best way to use it. So once a month we risk our lives, we went out to the field doing God's missions. Bringing medicines, food, with Bibles. Oh, 1,500 Marines coming home alive. That's the Marines. Practicing martial arts, actually. Oh.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask for Father God right now that you show us how, where we are living, what time we're living. It's the end time. And it's exciting because you call us the end time believers, sons and daughters. Finish up what you've been waiting for. And Lord, I ask that you pour out your anointing, impart your heart unto your sons and daughters in this Calvary Chapel Church, your Father. That every single one of your children in this church be empowered, encouraged and empowered by your voice to bear the fruit. Lord, open our ears and eyes to hear your voice and see your movement so that we may follow after you. Obeying your word. And Lord, and we believe great and mighty things will happen. Our life, first of all, our life, our heart will be changed. Our them will be changing. And Lord, I declare our city also will be changing. This region will be changing, Father God. And many, many leaders will be raised up out of this church. We sent out to many to highways and byways and corners and everywhere, Father God. In the streets and the marketplaces. Lord, shining your light, and people will see the truth that Jesus is alive. And you are our Lord and Savior. And Lord, thank you, Jesus, for your unconditional love and amazing grace. And we are the recipients of that amazing gift from you. Don't let us keep it to ourselves, but let it flow out of us right now, touching nations around us. Thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful day. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.